Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Hella Tired Podcast. I am your host, per usual, Bubba McComb, a.k.a. the Bubba Lou Bear, a.k.a. Bubbalicious, a.k.a. your mom's favorite friend. This is episode number 35, guys. We are getting up there in episodes, and I fucking love you guys for sticking with me so far. All the support you've shown makes my heart swell up. And right now, I'm sitting across the table from a very talented individual by the name of, you know, you might know him for a couple things. You might know him as Cole Travis. You might know him as Opus Loops. You might know him as fucking Big Daddy, dude, or whatever you call him when you're hanging out with him. I don't know what you call him, but please give it up in your fucking most metaphorical way ever for Mr. Cole Travis, a.k.a. Opus Loops.
Wow, thank you very much. Quite the intro.
Of course. Right away, for the people who can't see, which
yes,
is everybody.
Me. What am I wearing?
I was going to describe the setup, but let's describe you first. Okay.
Yeah, please.
Okay,
so I'm egotistical. I need that attention. That's why I'm a performer.
We have a very condensed floral pattern shirt, which I'm a huge fan of.
Thank you.
I don't like giant flowers on shirts. It makes it look more like a Hawaiian shirt than anything.
You know, but like if you have the right like things to match with it.
Okay,
if that is your like flair item that day, okay, then I say go for it.
Okay, I support that. Preference, I like smaller stuff.
I understand.
I like the condensed, smaller pattern. It's visually pleasing.
Yeah.
It looks way more symmetrical than just...
It's not like yelling for attention.
Right. Okay, so he's got some regular look. I mean, I don't know how to describe glasses.
You can call them basic-ass glasses. That's what they are.
They're just thin-framed glasses.
They are. These glasses are the bane of my existence recently.
Yeah,
I work with children at a local organization. I do a lot of educational outreach.
Okay.
And they are constantly calling me Harry Potter, even though, other than the glasses, I look absolutely nothing like Harry Potter.
No, you're just white.
I'm just a white dude with circular glasses. Yeah.
You're just a white guy with shorter hair. Like it's like, remember, have you ever seen that movie Role Models?
Oh, I don't think I have.
With Sean William Scott and fucking Paul Rudd. They both get into trouble, mm-hmm, and like to avoid going to prison, they have to become like partners with like a Big Brother type program.
Okay.
And so they have to like spend time with these children. And one of these children, like this little black kid, is like a little fucker, dude.
Okay.
And he keeps calling one of the people Ben Affleck. He's like, shut up, Ben Affleck. He goes, I look nothing like Ben Affleck. He goes, are you white? He goes, yeah, then you Ben Affleck. Like, that's how I see those kids. Maybe fucking.
That's probably just how it goes down.
It's the
honestly,
only reference
that
they have.
That makes more sense than anything my coworkers have been telling me.
Yeah.
Although, like, that whole, like, program, like, oh, what, like, you got in trouble for running drugs or whatever. We're going to just put you with at-risk children now. That seems like a terrible way of like dealing with it.
Yeah, it sounds counterintuitive,
yeah,
right?
I feel like maybe it just started off as a great program, and then like as the years went by, the people running it just let a few more things slide,
okay,
like every year, and then eventually it was Ben Affleck and Paul Rudd raising children.
No, it's a great movie. I mean it's not a fucking necessary plug, but that movie is fucking hilarious.
We're not sponsored by that movie.
Yeah, shout out to Paul Rudd though. Ant-Man,
that bod, he's rocking it,
dude. One of my fucking favorite superheroes, just because like it's Paul Rudd. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like Ant-Man, pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
like he can shrink and whatever, he can get micro.
I feel like he like falls along the lines of Spider-Man in the sense that he's
right.
Like this, he's this wholesome, like, excited to be a superhero.
Yes.
Like, it's been said so many times before, but, like, so many times you look at, like, Batman, who's all dark and brooding, and, oh, my parents are dead. I have to be this way so I can deal with my trauma.
Right.
You know, there's people like Superman who are, like, you know, morally responsible for literally everything.
Right.
And then you have people like the new Spider-Man, Tom Holland, and
what
Ant-Man.
What a perfect cast, right?
Oh, my God.
Finally, they get it perfect. I can't say perfect, but close to perfect as possible.
Well, it's been so long since, personally, I've looked at, like, the older comic books.
Uh-huh.
I still feel like Tobey Maguire was, like, A-plus original Spider-Man.
You think so?
But there's been so many iterations. I mean, you have, like, the original, like, Amazing Spider-Man, and you, like, go a little bit further into the 2000s with, like, the Ultimates, which is, like, the more, like, brooding, like... teenager wanting to do drugs and have sex kind of Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bad choices Spider-Man, as I like to call him.
Yeah.
And then there's like Tom Holland. He's just a little angel.
God, man. Dude, I really do finally feel like they got that right. But yeah, just like the guys who are just, yeah, exactly, humbled to be there. It's like, I shouldn't be here, man. This is cool. It's like Paul, if a non-comedic actor got casted as Ant-Man, like I think it would be a fucking flop, dude.
I don't think there's any way you can like be able to take that character seriously.
No,
he talks to fucking ants.
Right.
And he gets really small.
Yeah.
Marvel's been doing a great job, man. Like, honestly, I don't talk about Marvel very much because I'm not super versed in like all that shit. But
oh, let me help you.
Yeah,
I've been into Marvel since I was like, God, 8 years old. My dad bought me a Hulk versus the World, like Hulk versus the Marvel Universe, like compilation comic book.
Okay,
and it set me on a downward spiral of spending all of my allowance money on like each week's like new like badass lineup of heroes. And I mean, like, DC's
great, man.
DC has some pretty great storylines, but like, Marvel is A+ when it comes to the character development and like the human like nature of their heroes.
And speaking from context of the comic books, not even the movies and shows and stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, like,
because the movies and shows are the shows are horrid. CW, you're gonna trust CW?
Oh, okay, CW is one thing.
Come on, guys.
They've gone off the deep end. Although, I was watching some possibly illegal clips on YouTube of the new, was it Doom Squad or whatever it is?
Okay.
It's like the new, like, wacky bunch of anti-heroes or whatever. Looks like a fairly eclectic
show. CW still?
No. DC apparently has their own streaming service, well, so it's exclusively on there.
That's why.
Yeah.
It looks interesting.
Yeah.
Dude, CW made the superhero it literally felt like I was watching a fucking soap opera the way it's filmed. And yeah, like, dude, it feels like
it's like a daytime like telenovela,
yeah,
but with superpowers,
dude, with like soft lighting and shit, and like the cameras they use or the lenses, I don't know what the fuck, but like, you can't just get the best camera to film your show. Like, you're fucking DC, dude, and the CW, like, put money into production. And again, it's a TV show. I have no room to talk. I don't have a fucking TV show. But when I watch something like on Netflix, like Luke Cage or whatever, Daredevil,
yeah,
fucking Punisher, I'm like, this production quality should be the fucking bottom standard. Like, CW can just get here, they'd be fine. I would love Batman
definitely
and Green Arrow again and all that shit.
Yeah.
I can't even watch the CW shit at all.
It's challenging. It's challenging. It's great if you need like background
noise
while you're like writing jokes or making music
or
doing whatever,
something else except paying attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Playing on your handheld Switch while you're like fighting off the existential dread before going to sleep. Oh. Like, you know.
Do you have a Switch?
I do.
Dude, I
finally invested in it, which is great because I mean, I like just using the term invested in it because it makes me feel like more of an adult.
Well, dude, you're investing in your happiness, man.
Yeah.
My mom said you can't put a price on entertainment. And if it's going to make you happy doing it and you can afford it, fucking do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I recently acquired a Switch and was kind
you
of
need a, to exchange some gamer codes.
Well, here's
you
the
on
thing,
the
man.
Online shit?
Here's the thing.
That $20 a year online shit?
I was recently, I was very briefly unimpressed by it for whatever fucking reason,
uh-huh,
and I traded it, dude, for a PS4.
Oh, well, I mean, that's
I
understandable.
It.
So, what are your like ramifications, or like, no, your what are your video game needs? Because I like when I was in your green room, mm-hmm, let's call it,
yeah,
not your living room, your green room.
Sure.
I saw you had like a pretty decent collection of shit.
Well, I just traded in 90% of my shit. Like, I beat all of. I don't have any reason to play like half more than the majority of the games I had. So I traded in a bunch, but you know what? I'm not very picky, man. I like first-person shooters and stuff, but now I've been really, really spoiled with like the base building and settlement building with like Fallout 4.
Oh, so you like more of the survival?
Yes.
Like, you get dropped into this world and now you got to fucking deal with it.
Yes, I like that. I love that. But there's plenty of games like that that the fucking structure, the customization of your defenses just lacks so much. And Fallout 4 is like got the best fucking I don't know what to call it. They're the best with that so far.
Right.
And there's the creators of Fallout 70 or Fallout 4 are creating a new game. It's post-apocalyptic.
Okay.
It's kind of, it looks kind of like Fallout.
Wait, this is the creators of 74 or 76?
No. Whatever that. Creators of Fallout 4.
Fallout 4. Okay.
Yeah.
You scared me when you were talking about because the whole
flop.
Fallout 76 thing.
Flop.
Kind of, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. Like,
the
online Fallout should have been a lot of fun.
God, it was the coolest idea I've heard in such a long time,
yeah,
man. But then you play it and it's like, if you're not playing with friends, this is the most boring fucking game I've ever played in my life, dude.
I have definitely heard.
I put like 3 hours into that game. Seriously, because I was like, if I can't play with someone, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and like the whole time in the beginning too, they made an update, but in the beginning, every player could see where every player was,
mm-hmm,
on the map. So you can just go fucking fuck with someone. You don't even have to look for them or find them or discover them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, it's not bare bones enough. Like, it should be a real survival game if that's the case. But I don't know. I like survival. I used to like sports games, but I just get really, really angry, dude.
I can't play sports games. Me I can neither. Barely play competitive Smash Brothers because I feel like externally I'm a fairly a flowy and chill dude. But, you know, when you get fucked with by an 11-year-old who's just forward-airing you into oblivion over and over and you got to go to work in 20 minutes, it's just dude. No longer fun.
Yeah, you can pick Kirby. I don't care because he knows he's just going to fucking smack you no matter what happens.
He's going to hit the down B, turn into a fucking treasure chest and yep. be off the thing. Yeah.
Yep. I never got into Smash Bros. Because I never was good at it. And I was like, I can't get good at this game, dude. I would just get fucking smacked by everybody I played. And like, as a young kid, I was like, I'm not going to play it if I'm just going to get beat all the time. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I'm like, well, fuck you then. Come play me in Madden, dude. And they'd be like, I don't fucking like Madden. Why are you getting so pissed off? I'm like, fuck you. But like when the Xbox first came out and like Halo came out, whatever. Mm. But we used to have like legit like LAN parties, but for Xboxes, right? And dude, there were some couple times where we had to go out in the back and let a couple people fucking fight, dude. Put the boxing gloves on and just go at it because like
seriously,
people accusing each other of like screen peeking and stuff and just like young, literally like 13, 12-year-olds just getting way too fucking heated about shit and like but fighting like, in the backyard.
You need those moments as a child to like realize later in life, like, oh shit. I'm 25 right now. Like maybe I shouldn't be actually challenging people to real fights because of a video game.
If I did that now, that would be the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever done. If I like really got pissed off, I'm like, let's go fucking fight in the backyard, dude. I'm gonna fuck you up over a video game. At this point in my life, I would be very disappointed in myself.
I've played Minecraft with a few friends that have made me almost get there.
Yeah. They destroy your shit. They just kept fucking with
Well, they immediately
shit,
go to the desert and build TNT, and then they're like, hey, guess what, guys? And then everything you've been working on, this beautiful castle, is just destroyed. I do like the Assholes. Switch, though. I've always been in love with Nintendo, especially because they're very, very open now with newer creators and like independent studios and whatnot.
Yes, that's always been the thing that's lacking, right? The fucking selection. Everything was either Mario or everything was like just a specific thing for a long time with Nintendo. But now when the Wii came out, after a few years the Wii was out, they released the fucking marketplace where all those Super Nintendo games can be played and like all that. Such a good idea.
Yeah.
I hate the Wii, dude. I hated the Wii.
The Wii was there at a very influential moment in my life. So I can't say I hate
it. It's okay, dude.
I had a lot of good memories on the Wii. A lot of like late nights playing, what was it, Brawl, I think?
Super Smash Brawl? Yeah,
Super Smash Brothers. Or Melee. It was whichever one was on the Wii. The one with like Pit and whatnot. It was just good times.
Yeah, great. It was very groundbreaking though with the fucking two separate wands as controllers. Like I respected it, but at that point in time, like I was so concentrated on graphics engines and like how smooth the game, like the refresh rate and the and it lacked in everything.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh dude,
it was a silly creation. Yeah. But I'm like fairly certain, going back to those motion controls, like that's where my anxiety like first came from. Was just from like being like, okay, my friends just bought a new TV. I can't lose grip on this.
Put the fucking wrist locks on, Cole.
The Wii nunchuck got them wrapping around.
Yeah, I just love video games too, man. The first video game that I think most people in my 5-year front to back age range go, played Super Nintendo for the first time if they've been playing video games their whole life. My mom was a gamer and she brought home a Super Nintendo 1 year. And I think at this time I was like 4, probably 5. Like memories are just starting to like start. And I remember her and my grandma used to just stay up late at night on the weekends. They'd come over and we'd play Donkey Kong all night or like Super Mario Brothers or whatever. And like I never stopped playing. Like they let me start playing and stuff. And like from the time I was literally like 5 probably, I've just been every year, dude. I get a new game or something. I get obsessed with something.
Hell yeah.
This year it's been Red Dead Redemption 2, dude.
I've heard good things about it. I've seen good things about it. I've yet to play it. Again, I can barely afford the Switch.
Right.
The hyper, I mean, it just sounds like you're the kind of guy who's into like what you said, like graphics and refresh rates and like reality.
Beauty. Like the game has got to be beautiful.
That
dude.
Is the one thing I miss about like playing on like the upper echelon consoles, like Xbox and PlayStation, is that you get those moments where like you come out of your base or whatever, and you look around, there's literally an entire world like crafted just for you.
But, you know, Skyrim on the Switch looks really good. And they did a really big upgrade. And so does this is a super animated game, but Breath of the Wild looks great.
That was the first one I got, actually.
Yeah, they're slowly catching up. Like Nintendo, there's people out there that can make your game look incredible. And for years, I think Nintendo has been focused so much on gameplay, replayability, and keeping that E for everyone vibe, and anyone can play a Nintendo game, that they kind of just...
They've been more focused on the fun of the game, which isn't a bad thing. And it's just means that they're fun. Lacking in other things.
Exactly. I don't have the most fun on competitive Xbox Live or whatever. I have
You go on competitive Xbox Live to get shit done and put people in their place.
Or to get a little rush or something, or you want to concentrate and feel like whatever, dude. Like my parents play Call of Duty Black Ops religiously, dude.
Interesting.
They're so good at that game. And I've talked about this the last couple episodes, so I won't spend too much time on it, but they are just like, no, I don't want to play anything else. I like this. I like this game. They get to go on. They play with their friends that also play, and they all get in a group and just fucking mob, dude. My mom is so fucking good at Call of Duty. That's it's really ridiculous.
My parents were, they're not gamers in any sense, but they were fairly supportive when I was coming up, and they helped me I still have my GameCube from when I was 10.
Hell yeah, dude.
Trying to get through Ocarina of Time right now, and it's a classic.
And that's expensive by now, huh?
It was an investment, again.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't blow my money on it. I invested. The one thing I do love about video games is that it's a beautiful coalition of as many mediums of art as you can possibly get into.
Right,
dude. It's literally, in my experience, it's the most intense well-crafted art form that allows you to fully experience what the creators wanted, right? You have the beauty of the visuals,
the score,
this oh my god, video game music itself is an obsession of mine.
Arguably the most important part of the video game is how the music and the ambiance makes you feel. Imagine playing Super Smash Bros. Or whatever game you have fun playing with no music. It just wouldn't be.
It doesn't give you that drive. It doesn't give you that bop. Which, Smash Brothers. Because I didn't mention it earlier. this is my first time on a podcast. Can you tell?
You're very, very natural conversationalist. So I knew this was going to be fine.
Yeah, the first time we met up and everything, I was like, oh yeah, we could probably do this.
I was like, dude, I've spent too much time here. I have things to do today, man. But I keep talking to you.
And then
for
we ended
ever.
Up talking for another 30 minutes. And then I'm sure you're late to the shit.
I don't even know if I was. It's obviously not important, and nothing happened because I would have remembered.
And
you're
here, and that was half a year ago.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Please pass me the lighter.
Are you going to be lighting some scented candles?
Yep. I'm going to light a organic Arizona green tobacco cigarillo.
Gotcha.
Got it from Nature's Medicines.
Yeah. Right on.
Shouts. So video games, again, such an important fucking staple in my life. It has inspired so many just events like football. Mm-hmm. I didn't think football was super, super fucking cool until I played the video game. This is one video game called NFL Fever 2000.
Okay.
All right.
Again, not a sports in any sense, but
it's
please.
Okay. So it came out for the original Xbox, and it was the first video game where the mechanics and the way you move was just extremely impressive.
Yeah.
And it was right when Pharrell Williams came out with that song NERD.
Okay.
It was the same year, right? So after
It's a good
year. Great year. So I played football in Pop Warner and stuff, but it was just kind of my dad was like, you want to do any sports? And I think I said I did soccer a little bit. I did basketball and I got to football and I was like, okay, this is cool. So after I started playing the video game, I was like, whoa, dude, football is fucking cool. This is so sick. And it gets a kid to start dreaming about the possibility, whatever, right? And so just based off of a video game, I was fully immersed in football. And I wasn't going to go anywhere with it in life. Yeah. But just a video game inspired me to do something that I absolutely loved to do for so many years.
Uh-huh.
And same thing with anime and shit, bro. Anime inspires so many things in people, anime. Bro. I think anime is the most artistic form of visual presentation ever.
Okay. Are we talking all forms of anime? Are we talking Miyazaki animation. Shit? Are we talking or just animation in general?
Animation in general. And I'll tell you why.
Anything you can imagine, right? You get it out there?
Dude, I heard
there's some trippy shit people are making. Adult Swim. Dude. Praise be. The Lords at Adult Swim, who offer that like platform for people to make shows about butts who are also cops, or Rick and Morty, or their trippy ass like infomercials they do.
Off the Air, have you ever seen
off
that?
Oh, Off the Air, Off the Air was my freshman college year shit. I was all on that.
Yeah, dude, it's a I don't know, it's fucking great. And I heard this explained to me in a way that it has stuck with me for a very long time. Because I was one of those guys, like, in high school, I was like, what the fuck is so appealing about anime in general? I watched cartoons and shit growing up, but anime was one of those things I was like, this shit's fucking whack, dude. Like, I made fun of my friends that watched it and stuff.
I mean, there's also, like, such a stigma against it, and partially for good reason. A lot of it's hyperbolic, you know, sexualized shit.
Sure,
a lot of it is.
And so, like, I was that guy. I was just like, no, this is fucking lame, whatever, okay? And so my buddy John, shout out to John Rosemont, a.k.a. John Wyler, a.k.a. Big DD. He sat me down and was, like, really passionate about my stance against anime.
Fuck yeah.
And, like, he was telling me, he goes, dude, you don't understand, man. He goes, like, as soon as something animated comes on, every expectation of reality is gone. Like, when it's animated, the limits are completely diminished because nothing seems like unreal when it's animated. So that's why I can personally say I've been more attached to animated fucking movies or shows way more than I ever have like in-person shit, because your brain will analyze the situation when you're seeing real people interact. And it's like, he wouldn't fucking do that. Like, that wouldn't actually happen or whatever, unless you're setting up for like a super sci-fi shit. But anime is just like, yeah, you can get taken anywhere ever and it'll be interesting because it's not real. Like, I watched a fucking anime about it's called Yo Wapeta.
Okay.
It's a fucking anime about this kid who was on a bicycle team in high school, a bicycling team. And it's like the
I do love, like, they're like the slice of life things,
but
right?
But they make
like
it so intense and so interesting. It's like, how do they do that? It's like, because it's not real.
Yeah, exactly. There's another one that's like all about like a gourmet like cooking team, I think. That was like the shit back in high school or something. Like, I forget the name of
it. Yes, dude. And like the way that it looks. Oh, man. I just love it.
The reason why I love like, and kind of bringing it back to video games, but anime and video games, they both offer such great mediums for storytelling, which has always been a turn on for me.
Right.
I just the recounting of events, or the providing a platform for these characters that you create to interact with each other and like tell these relatable stories that can impact you later, or even just true events. Like I used to run an old show. It was like a year ago. I started up a show called Say What. Which is entirely everyone in the performers base were all LGBTQIA+ people.
Now, are you still doing that? But it's just
I'm trying to get through college at the moment, and then maybe in this upcoming year, keep your eyes out for maybe something. I don't really know.
Okay.
There's a lot of shit going on artistically with me right now.
Very good.
Trying to get back into stand up, which has been a blast. Thank you again for hosting me.
Of course, man.
Sunday
night
at the Grand,
out, man.
Everyone.
Yeah, every other Sunday night. June 2nd is the next one, which it will have been.
And that's the day.
June 2nd by now.
June the 2nd. Yeah. And that's the day after your live show, I believe.
Yeah, that's going to be such a fucking fun time,
Good
man.
For you, man.
That's such a fun time. All the moving parts in that show are just going to be so easily implemented, and there's not a whole lot of logistics that go behind it. And it's good to know that I'm doing it at a place like the Nile Coffee Shop that knows what the fuck they're doing. Like, Michelle and her team knows what they're doing. I don't have to explain to them what I need in detail. I just said I need 6 mics, and I need someone's loop station and guitar mic'd up, and I think that's about it. And they're like, cool, okay. Like, how do you want the seating arranged? I'm like, just leave it. All right. I was like, okay, cool, man. I'll see you guys in a month and a half.
Fuck yeah.
You know, and it's just so easy because I know I can count on them.
You mentioned loop station. What do you do with that?
Well, AJ Rodriguez, my buddy AJ, a.k.a. 24K Brown Magic.
Okay.
He's ended up getting really well known on Twitch from doing like music, and he only uses a loop station and his guitar and his
Fuck
voice.
Yeah.
Like, I'll show you him.
Please.
That's
inherently what I do.
Literally, it's about the same. He doesn't have a piano, but he has the loop. Actually, well, he does, but he doesn't bring it with him.
Gotcha.
So what's that's going to be used for essentially is, so the doors open at 7.
Uh-huh.
Okay. AJ and our friend Emily from the UK is here.
Hmm.
So she has the best voice I've ever heard in person before. And that's not a fucking exaggeration. I've never even heard her off key ever. And so her and AJ are going to play an hour of music, just fucking getting it. And then 8 o'clock, the show will start. And then throughout the podcast, I'm going to have like a little bullet points of questions I can ask Mike. But then when he answers, I'm also going to ask AJ, like, what do you feel about so-and-so and so?
Gotcha.
And he has to answer musically. You know what I mean? Like, sing his answer.
Okay.
It's just going to be really fun, man. You know what I mean? And I'm just happy. The roast panel is all good to go. People getting
roasted.
You have
a roast panel. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Can you spill some tea or sling some goss on who's on that roast panel?
So the roast panel includes Josh Harrison,
okay,
Courtney Wallstrom,
okay,
Tristan Bowling, and my friend Chris Gotti.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great, dude. And my buddy Guyver, he's getting roasted. My friend Lauren Don Levy and Dylan Allen are all the roasties.
Okay.
And so the structure is we're going to give 5 minutes of open roasting per to just roast the shit out of the person. And when it's all said and done, we're going to give them the mic. You got 1 minute to roast as many of us as you can, and then you get the fuck off the mic, right? Like, it's going to be just a fun thing, man. And
did you say who was the third person you mentioned?
The roasties?
Yeah.
Dylan Allen.
Dylan Allen. Yeah. And then, did you say Courtney?
Courtney Wallstrom's one of the roasters.
She's with roasters.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you guys don't know
Courtney Wallstrom. Yeah. Oh, check out her shit.
Yeah. Episode 33 of the podcast, her and Dana came on.
I was listening to it
had
yesterday.
Had a great, great time.
During work.
Yep.
Again, I work at an organization that works with kids.
Sure.
I was packing some shit up, so
yeah.
At least I wasn't around the children when you all were talking about like fighting people and whatnot.
Oh, so
and
it was like on a speaker?
No, I had my like headphones on, but like I knew I couldn't like talk to coworkers because that's like all I was focusing on was like the shit you all were going over.
I would say, yo, if you fucking play this podcast in front of kids, man, please make sure it's out of hearing range because sometimes this podcast goes off the rails and it does not become family friendly.
Oh, no, definitely not.
For the most part,
it's a improvisational free speaking kind of situation. Yeah.
There's no bounds. If anyone says anything a little bit out of bounds, I always like jokingly say, hey, a Hella Tired podcast does not endorse that last statement presented by da 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 da. Like,
yeah.
It's just a funny way to just do it. And I've only had to edit or take out like one thing in the whole, I try to let everybody know like, hey man, don't say
Bubba's saying one thing, but he's showing me with his hands 10 things.
No,
he's giving me like the double hand signature.
Yeah. I talk
just for all you listeners out there.
Sorry. One thing. And then, I try to let everybody know like, hey, this is, I don't edit these. So make sure you say what you mean. If you want something edited, let me know before I post it. And we've all been good. Everyone's comfortable with themselves and who they are, what they say. So, I've been lucky enough to not ever have to fucking try and edit an episode and like take little things out. One person said where they worked on here and I was like, okay, we talked about some things that probably you don't want attached to it. So let's just edit that little part out.
Yeah.
And I put like a little bleep. It was fine. It was easy.
That's all you gotta do.
Yeah. 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 But, I love it, man. And, I really do thank you. And I'm sorry it took so long, and I don't want to try and sound like a cool guy here, but I try to book as far in advance as I can.
Yeah.
And so every other month I'll book 2 months out.
Yeah, no, and you're fine. Honestly, like, I'm kind of glad it took you that long because finals were hell this semester.
Okay.
I'm on my way out, thankfully. I have one more actual semester to go.
Cool.
And then because your boy actually paid attention the first 3.5 years in college, I got a full ride scholarship.
Yo!
So I have another semester just to take some dope ass electives.
Fuck yes,
gonna
dude.
Gonna take a coding class for video games,
okay,
some woodworking, maybe like underwater basket weaving, whatever the fuck.
So your next semester then is pretty much going to be whatever you want to do.
Next semester is the last actual semester. And the one after that Cole gets to fuck around.
Gotcha.
And do whatever he
fuck
wants.
Fuck yes, dude.
Yeah.
Anything involving music you want to do as an elective?
Oh, God, hopefully. There's a few production classes
okay,
I'm looking
cool.
at. I'm actually, there's, fuck me, because I forgot the man's name who actually runs it, but there's a class called DRB Beats, believe, or DRB Studio. And... Again, I totally forgot the man's name who runs it, but he's a composer. He works for the School of Music over there.
Very cool.
Oh, my God. But he hosts like a small like 15-person class where essentially the entire assignment is like by the end of the semester, you need to have a multimedia performance done.
Whoa.
And if your shit is good, and better than everyone else's, he sends you across the country to go perform in New York City.
Whoa. Right. It's worth just the knowledge, huh?
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, take that class.
I'm taking it. It's,
fuck yeah,
it's
dude.
On my lineup. It's like a once a week sort of situation too. So yeah.
Man, I'm so healthily jealous about of people with musical talents. Not
I see you're a Kai, like
that's Derek's
thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's Derek's. I mean, I could play a little bit of guitar. I could play a little bit of drums. But other than that, like, I just wish I could play music.
Just got to keep doing it. It's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of putting yourself out there. It's a lot of fucking up a shit ton.
Yeah. And I consciously acknowledge that I am not willing to put in the time it takes to get good at an instrument right now.
Yeah.
What I want to get good at is comedy. So
and there you go. What's the word I'm looking for? Your prospects, your something. It's different. Like what you want to do with yourself and your future is different from what I want to do.
Right.
And also like our backgrounds. Like I've been in band since I was in high school.
Right.
I toured with Warped Tour for a few years.
Yeah, and I was in one band and got addicted to performing and I didn't know what to fucking do. I was like,
what was your band? What did you guys do?
Like hardcore.
Okay.
Like,
right on.
Yeah. Old band called Redeemer.
Ooh. That's definitely a hardcore band name. A lot of tight jeans and black t-shirts. Yeah.
No, lots of black t-shirts. We were a fucking an odd little group.
Yeah,
we were all different, very different.
Arizona bands are.
Yeah, very different from each other. Didn't really look like a cohesive band aesthetically, but it's like it was fun, man. So much fun, and I just like after that, like I was only in it because like I was their friends, and they knew I could play a little bit of guitar. So like, do you want to try and play bass? And I was like, I'll try
the big guitar. Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, hey man, I talked to our guitarist, and I was like, can you tab this out for me? He's like, yeah, I could do that. And I was like, cool, then I can learn it for sure.
Oh yeah.
And so I learned the songs, and like I wasn't good at all, you know, but it was so fun. And eventually, they replaced me with someone who was phenomenal, and which is 100% accurately, like it should have happened, right?
Yeah, but it hurts in the moment. Like I've been booted out of a few bands for not being like up to par.
Exactly. And the thing is like I wasn't in a place where I was like, dude, no, I'm good. Like why, what the fuck, man? I was like,
right,
of course. Like, yeah. And they told me who it was, and I was like, oh, it's like your old band pretty much. Like everyone else in the old band was back together plus another guitarist.
Okay,
and I was
gotcha.
Like, all right, that fits then.
Hey, you don't wanna, that's nice, and it's awesome that you you know, you weren't like being crazy egotistical like a lot of musicians can be.
If I was good and they're my homies like that, then I'd be like, well, what the fuck, man?
Or just talk to them and be like, hey, like, let's push the boundaries. We'll get two basses on there. I'll take the higher shit. You can take the lower.
I'll just hit the open string and just kick people in the face all set.
Yeah. You don't even need to plug me in. I can just, I'll do crowd work, get down there, start the pits.
Dude, I did do that. That was my fucking signature move, though, bro.
The kicking?
Kick someone in the chest every single fucking set. Like, there's just one part of the song that was just, like, very aggressive. And then, like, right when it happens, whoever's in the front row, I just fucking full fuck.
Yeah.
Spartan kick their chest.
Holy
dude.
Shit. you and I had some different bands, for sure. My,
dude, this one time. Okay, so the band I was in, of course, like I said, had a band before.
Of course.
And they were really, really popular emo band, like really popular, called Nearest the Positive.
Not my scene.
Dude,
sorry.
It's all good, but like the people listening are probably laughing their ass off. Like at least a handful of them are. And
that's all you need.
So they wanted the state of Arizona essentially requested that they play one song that they got really famous and stuff, and they're like, fuck no, we're not playing it. But so many people asked them, they're like, all right, dude. So I handed the bass over to you know the other guy, and they played, and I literally, when they started playing, I got off stage, and people would like go behind the merch tables to like stay safe and not get hit or run into or whatever, right? Dude, I literally fucking ran straight, dude, jumped up on the merch table, off the merch table, and like just fucking swan dived into like this group of people and like knocked all them down.
You were that fucker.
Like, I was like, nobody safe. Like, I was that guy.
Oh my God.
Thank God for psychedelics, dude. That shit.
Did those level you out a little bit?
All the bit.
They definitely helped me ego
all
check
the bit.
A bit. Yeah.
Weed first was like the first thing I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'd like to feel instead of so goddamn aggressive all the time. And then a little bit of mushrooms came next, and I was like, I like being this way. Like, I don't like fucking being so angry all the fucking time.
Fuck yeah.
Listening to angry music and indulging in my actual emotions, like my negative emotions.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't know I was doing it to that point until I wasn't that way anymore. And I was like, whoa, shit, that went way too far.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice to have that like reset. And occasionally you need that every few years, right? Like
3 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever works for you. Whatever works for you. I have the lowest fucking tolerance for literally anything.
Same, dude.
Which is weird because I'm a six foot two, like a tall man. Well, it should take a little bit longer.
So here's the thing. That pretty much only applies with, pills, like weight-based drugs, like a Vicodin or whatever, dude.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like mushrooms or LSD, don't fucking matter how much you weigh. That's not what gets it. Like the amount of weight of the substance has nothing to do with the amount of potency. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, alcohol. If you're a smaller person, of course, like naturally, your tolerance is going to be because you have legitimately less blood than a fucking big person. Oh,
I never thought about myself that way. I have the most blood.
Well, everyone
and, like,
has
a room
like
for
a
the most part.
Yeah, there's like I am the blood king. There's a very small like a difference, but there's a difference, and that's how alcohol it gets absorbed through your bloodstream.
Of course,
whereas weed gets absorbed through your lungs, and so again,
well, I mean, it still goes into your bloodstream at some point.
Some point, yeah, yes,
but it has to get through there. But it's more of a direct route with alcohol.
Exactly.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Exactly. The less, or no. It's a more direct route with smoking weed.
Mm. So okay,
like
gotcha.
Again, the amount of it isn't going to like fuck you up more because you're a 4 foot person smoking a blunt rather than a 10 foot person smoking a blunt.
Gotcha.
It eventually gets
which
in your
like
blood.
If you are a 10 foot person, please smoke a blunt. You're scaring
please
everyone.
Call me.
Yeah.
I'd love
or
to
that
have
you on the podcast.
But and you know, I'm not a fucking scientist, so you know there might be a couple holes in that, but I'm fairly certain. Like I can speak for sure for psychedelics. Like the weight or height has nothing to do with the potency, and I'm a very lightweight with those things.
Gotcha.
Like, I'll like literally eat just like a little cap or something and feel nice.
Yeah, that's all you need. You don't need to, you know, approach the ego death every trip.
Well, dude, I think an ego death is only necessary when it's necessary.
No, and like, you're going to get it when it's necessary.
And you won't
that's the beautiful
get it
thing about,
if you don't need it.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about mushrooms.
Yep.
That in my experience is like you get what you get out of it.
Yep.
And then my experience with LSD is you're on the ride and you don't really have a choice of what's going on.
Nope.
So, yeah.
Just accept everything is pretty much.
Yeah, you have no other option.
Yeah.
You can try and fight it. It'll come back and bite you in the ass.
And I don't even like tripping anymore. Like I haven't had a legit trip in a very long time. I just like microdosing, like a very, very manageable amount where you can converse with people. You can go out anywhere and be anywhere.
You can still feel like you can socialize with people.
Socialize better.
Yeah.
Like you're just more open to the idea of people being nice.
All that background chatter gets shut up for a little bit and you can just kind of, you know, focus on being in the moment, which is, so
lovely. Beautiful, man. And I really wish more people would just, you know, take the fucking hint and just like, just dude, you can do such a small amount and just get the fear out of your system.
Yeah.
Really. And I'm not saying everybody go do it, but like whatever you've thought about it in the past, like all of these, old fucking, wives' tales, like, well, it'll get, it stays in your spinal column. And if you crack your back one day, you can just start tripping. 1000% false.
Yeah, I had a friend in high school who like claimed that he could crack his back and kind of get like the little microdosing from LSD because he did so much of it when he was like 15.
I mean, like, who's to say that it's not right if you're not a scientist, right? So I just did some research and it was like, no, that's not fucking possible.
Yeah.
And the thing, like, you can get stuck in a trip forever. It's like, also not possible. Like, you can fry your brain.
True. You can also, okay, so along those lines, I had someone in my life who did LSD.
Yeah.
And because they're predisposed to schizophrenia, it activated
it.
So there's always that possibility.
Exactly. And which, that is like, a real thing.
Let's do a very quick Hellatired podcast PSA.
PSA.
Know your family history before fucking with your brain chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or at least just be, and you know what, dude? Not saying you can't do it, because if you have schizophrenia in your gene pool and it's going to arise, there's no like, it's gonna get there. Like, and it usually makes you wait until maybe your mid-20s is when you really start developing.
Yeah, for men, I think it's like mid-20s. I think women's a little bit later.
Right.
If I remember correctly.
A little earlier.
Is it earlier
for
women?
Yeah, a little earlier for women.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, you can find out quicker. But I have heard many accounts, no one I know personally, but many accounts of that being like it provokes it. Or not provokes it, but it puts it to the front instead
of... It brings up in line a little bit.
Right. And so it doesn't create schizophrenia, so don't get that mixed up. But if you do, if you're going to have it in your life, it will probably speed up.
Yeah, or just like just know the risks or look for alternatives.
Or you know what, dude? Who know? Maybe, I don't know, man. I have to look more into it. I don't want to talk for anybody.
That's a really good way of like tossing that in there. I don't have that form of mental illness. I don't know if you have that in your family at all, but
Bipolar for sure. Gotcha. And then on my dad's side, some definite mental issues.
Gotcha. So just a disclaimer, like none of us are suffering from that particular breed, so maybe like take our words with a grain of salt,
and you know who can ever say that it could prevent it. There's no way of telling, ever knowing, you know. There's no way to see if you're going to be schizophrenic, right? They can't just go into you and be like, oh shit, man, you got about 5 years. Like, that's not possible. Yeah. But I wonder if there's been any cases, and like this will only if knowledge comes after death, then maybe this will just be what we have to wait for. But like, has it ever prevented schizophrenia from developing?
Hmm.
If it changed your brain chemistry, maybe it changes it enough to fucking prevent it.
It would be a lot easier to know that if we could, you know, like actually test these substances on like whatever. As I take a long sip from a
long self-righteous
cup of water. Yeah.
Please picture the Kermit the Frog meme. Everyone knows what we're talking about. If you don't, you've been out of the loop.
Yes.
Lupus for a while. I was trying to...
Opus loops?
It didn't work. If you've been out of the opus loops for a long time, that flowed better.
Yeah, there you go.
But
it's catchy. It's nice.
It is, man. Opus loops is perfect, dude.
It's been a fun project so far.
So where does opus come from?
Opus. I love one-worded music project names. I feel like it's easier just to flow out the mouth. Like the name doesn't really... Name's not the most important part. Name is just a part of the branding. But when I was a child, I guess if I had to like pick a place where Opus came from, I used to read those, Bloom County comics. Ever read those?
I'm not familiar, no.
They're like along like the lines of like newspaper comics of like Calvin and Hobbes, where it'd be like more thought-provoking, kind of outlandish. Yeah. Stuff, but there's a character in there that was his name is Opus. He was a penguin, except for like instead of having a beak, he had like a weird like mouth nose situation.
What the fuck?
Yeah, look up Opus from Bloom County. It's an interesting dude. But no, he was like kind of like the innocent like bystander who everyone around him had like all these like either vices in their lives or like these different like, you know, characteristics, and he was always kind of like the neutral one.
What the fuck?
You're looking at him right now? Yeah, he's funky.
That's funny. Okay. But,
like, Opus is just it's a fun name. At the risk of making myself sound like an idiot, I believe an opus is like a kind of like a larger story.
Okay.
Or like I'm looking at it right now because I don't want to be, you know, don't hit me with that sign.
Is later. It interpretive though?
I'm looking it up right now.
Because you can't argue interpretation.
In music is a separate composition or set of compositions by a particular composer, usually ordered by date or of publication.
So it's a double entendre, man.
Yeah. Any artistic work, especially one in a large scale. Oh, so shit. I totally planned that. Yeah.
Yep.
That's totally what I was going for. No, but like perfect. Look at that. Coincidences.
Dude, it really does work.
I was
perfectly.
Just trying to name it off of a fucking penguin from a comic book in the early 90s. And here
now
we are.
Look, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we had the conversation.
Thank you for opening
you
up.
You would have looked it up eventually, right?
Sure.
Someone was like, what does Opus mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, how weird is that fucking fit? What were you going to say? What did you think it meant? Something along the lines of?
Something along the lines of like a bigger picture, like musical project.
Okay, but
like
it's
that.
Even more specific to you now that you read the definition.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's kind of cool too because like with the with my setup and everything, there's like sky's kind of the limit. It's kind of It's kind of a boundary pushing imaginary like setup. I love it. I can do essentially whatever I want with this thing.
And now, are you able to get an extension that allows you to put extra like music inputs into that, or do you have to get a new?
Yeah. So
board.
Do you mean like for like basses or like other things?
Yeah. Exactly.
Or, like,
exactly.
I could just get a. Do you mind if I describe what I have right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
kind of
talk about it.
So let me set the scene. We're in the podcast studio.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Me and Cole. AKA
let's get some
Opus. Oh yeah, let me get
some like nice mood sounds, like some
Okay, hold on. We are gonna get into this. I almost fucked up.
Well, I'll fuck around with the thing. Let's talk about what there is right here first.
Okay, I'm going to talk. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Because I do need to take a sponsorship break, and I almost fucked up. This is brand new to me, so.
Oh, look at you.
You know.
Dude, would you like to? We could keep them on the line after the sponsor break if you want.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so when we come back.
Keep going.
When we come back, please stick around for the shocking conclusion of Opus Loops describing his setup.
And we're back with another episode of the Hellatire Podcast with Cole Travis, aka Opus Loops. He's going to take some time and describe the setup we have here in the studio. He has brought his musical equipment to perform.
Yes.
And unbeknownst to you, going to have a special performance live here on the Hellatire Podcast, and it's going to get real fucking groovy in this bitch. So please. Take it away.
We're going to be pushing the boundaries of imagination and music at the same time. In the immortal words of Parliament Funkadelic,
hey.
Allow me to do it to you in your eardrums. So I'm actually really lucky. So there's an artist out there. You call me Loop Daddy at your open mic. And yeah. I can't take that title because there's already a man out there who has it and deserves it. His name is Mark Rebier.
Okay.
And he's kind of like pushing the boundaries of what you can do with like a loop station and okay. like live performances, at least from my perspective. So go check him out. He's actually coming to the Crescent Ballroom.
Whoa.
Unsponsored shout out.
You're going to go.
Obviously. Right. I'm going to go and then try and get his attention so I can talk to him. That's the goal.
Yep.
It's not just to, it's like, you know, to sap from him more musical integrity.
Just find out if he's into drugs, dude. That's the easiest way. Yeah, to be like, hey, man. I got some for you.
Yeah.
And then just don't have anything. And be like, hey, sorry, I don't have anything.
Yo, Mark, you like heroin? I got some of that. Yeah. That's how you do it, right? Like you just push as far as... Anyway.
I got that rare shit.
Keep going. Exactly. No, you're good. You're good. So I'm using the looping station that he uses. It's called a Boss RC-505. And for all of you listening, definitely go check this out. There's a lot of people on YouTube doing some really cool things with this sort of loop station. It's a 5-track looper, which means that there are 5 different loop stations into it. So I can take one little loop station. I can record like a drum beat on it.
Yeah.
I can save that, have it looping in real time, and then record like a bass line and then some strings or a piano or whatever else the fuck I want to. There's also a crazy amount of effects on here I've still yet to explore.
Yeah, but and I see there's 3 banks too. So you can essentially set up 15 layers of loops, right?
So unfortunately, there's only 5. Are you looking at these things up
right here?
Those are for the effects. So you can do 3 different effects for your input and then 3 different effects for the output.
Got it. Okay, so I thought that was like additional banks to stack loops.
That would be fucking insane. I'm sure there's a way to do that, but I can barely handle this thing.
Hit up that manual.
I had a
nice piece of equipment, man.
Boss loopers are pretty, well, they're Boss. They kick ass. Thank you.
It's in the name.
Yeah, Boss loopers, it's in the name. The way I got started off was when I was in high school, I was watching a ton of Reggie Watts videos.
Fuck
on YouTube.
Yeah, dude.
If Mark Rebier is the loop daddy, Reggie Watts is the loop granddaddy.
Yeah, loop lord.
Oh, God, loop god. That man has done more for looping than anyone else has, in my opinion. But I was like, oh, I can do that. My little, like, you know, sophomore year of high school, like just starting to play guitar kind of ass person. And I asked my grandparents for a RC-202, I believe the name is, which it's a bit smaller. It's only 2 like tracks and it's built for like guitars.
And this is you in high school.
This is me in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I would do like talent shows and like go to like open mics. Shout out to... Oh my God, I should remember the names. Never mind. Can't shout out.
Shout out to the guy, man.
Yeah, shout out to the guy. Shout out to the coffee places that would let me go do my shit. One of them is shut down now, so I guess they don't really care. The other one, I'll remember the name later. But
fuck it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck it.
They're not listening to this.
This is your fucking podcast.
Yeah, this is my fucking podcast. I'll talk about, I don't owe anyone shit except for you, Bubba. Thank you so much for having me on here. I really appreciate it. But other than that, fuck everyone else.
Thank you for being a great guest. I owe you just as much as you feel like you owe me, dude. No one knows anything anyone, man.
You're too sweet.
Or anyone anything.
So I have the RC-505, and then next to it, I have a Chord Cross music workstation / synthesizer, and it has essentially every sound, every instrument underneath the sun. You could pop sleeve once. It's a full 64 key keyboard.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice like little sustain pressure pedal
sensitive
on the bottom.
Too.
Yeah.
Not that velocity fucking whack sensitive. Ass
it's,
fucking...
it's not a sound blaster, thankfully.
Yeah, man.
And it's a treat. I mean, it lets me pull off some crazy fucking shit if I'm like actually in the groove.
It's fucking, it's the perfect setup, and it's mobile as shit.
It's hella mobile, yeah.
You just gotta have a fucking outlet, right?
I need an outlet and a table of some sort, which I actually...
Which you have, right?
Yeah, I bought like a little like folding table from Home Depot. That's really all you need.
Okay. And, do you have like your banner and stuff yet made and everything?
I'm kind of just getting out
okay,
there.
Okay, so this is just recent then.
This is a new project, yeah.
Okay,
this
cool.
This is 52 Facebook followers and like 70-something.
Oh, so this is... I thought you'd been doing this for a while. Like
no, this is... I've been looping for years, but Opus Loops is fairly new.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Opus Loops, all undercase, just OPUSLOOPS. Opus Loops.
Fucking very nice, dude. And so guys, like I fucking promised you.
Oh, are you doing this?
This is not a fucking drill, dude. All right, it can be drill if that's what you play, but I don't think you're a drill artist.
No, unfortunately not. I want to know more about what drill music is.
Oh, but. Dude, it's fucking like a, like, oh man, aggressive. It's like hardcore reggae.
Definitely not what I am. No, I try to...
it's something of a combination, yeah. Dude.
No, I love kind of bouncing around the musical genre game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But also, I keep on finding myself into more, like... I when I was younger, I used to be, like, obsessed with, like, nice Major 7, like, lullaby songs.
Sure.
Things that, like, they would just make you feel good,
yes,
and sweet.
Yes.
And then, like, I learned the word wholesome from, like, you know, the whole wholesome meme phase that, like, went through the internet a while ago, yep, with all the, like, the hearts and, like...
yeah.
When bae is worth it or some shit like that.
Right,
that sort
right
of thing.
People and still said bae.
I love using bae. It drives my girlfriend crazy, but like I love saying bae.
Shout out to your girlfriend,
shout
dude.
Out to, yeah, my girlfriend,
fucking
Shannon Ramsey.
You have heard nothing but wonderful things about
she
you, Shannon.
She was on Broachella of like,
oh, hell yeah,
last Sunday with Angus and Sea Dog.
Hey, AKA Courtney Walsham and Dana Weissen from,
yeah,
if you want to
hear
33.
If you want to hear more about that, just go back a few more,
that's what I'm saying,
more things.
So shout out to being a fucking cool girlfriend, man.
Yeah, you can find herself on Instagram at Music by Shannon.
Okay.
I believe.
Yep, I'm gonna follow her for sure.
Yeah.
So I suggest you fucking people.
Definitely.
And by you people, I mean you fucking people. You know who I'm talking about, man. Who are not following Shannon right now?
Yeah,
go do that shit.
All like all five of you out there who aren't following her right now,
because right,
she's got some hot shit. She's an amazing vocalist and lyricist. Actually,
good, man.
I'm super excited because like it's finally summer and I actually have time for artistic projects.
So can I please request? And I'm sure that this has been talked about, man. But if you guys don't do something together soon,
funny you
that's
say
a
that
waste of time.
This it is actually. We've yeah actually talked about that. This upcoming Thursday, okay, we're meeting up with a few local musicians to
yes
put together like a four piece.
Oh, that makes me so happy!
Kind
dude
of a folk rock, folk punk situation.
Oh my god, I'm so that makes me so fucking excited.
I'm playing with I was in a band with an amazing local guitarist, John Curtis Sanchez. You can,
okay,
you can you know, you can actually really find him and request the guitar lessons. He's an amazing teacher.
Cool, man.
But definitely knows his like theory and shit like that. And then we have a drummer, Travis Rowland Jr.
Okay.
Who is studying at ASU right now in performance majoring.
Superstar lineup, dude.
Fucking badass. He and yeah I were actually in a project called Slippy for a while. That,
that's a cool-ass name.
It was fun, like Slippy Toad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, but it was a seven-piece jazz punk.
Holy shit.
So we had like a whole horn section.
Yeah.
I played the keyboard for that. I composed everything. It was a trip, but the dude has his chops, and so I'm really
right
excited to see, like, come Thursday, what the fuck happens.
Very cool,
it's
man.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Keep everybody in the loop. Get it?
Pun intended. Mr. Funny Man.
So actually, real quick, dude, I wanted to ask, I think if I remember correctly, last when we first met up, did we talk about our mutual love for Nujabes?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay. No, Nujabes. It wasn't with you. Okay.
It wasn't me. I don't even
okay
know.
Okay.
Is
so,
he coming?
No, he's dead. But Nujabes is
Nujabes.
My favorite artist of all time. He's a
rapper, correct?
He's
or
a
like
producer.
A, like a producer.
Yeah,
yeah.
He works with worked with.
Oddly enough, so my little brother and I share a Spotify,
okay,
and he introduced him to me. Actually,
dude,
I've yet to really deep dive, and I feel like after this like recording, I'm gonna have to.
You
but
like jazz?
Oh, definitely.
Listen to everything Nujabes has ever
Nujabes
made.
Okay.
And it's fucking just the, oh man.
I'll get it on the way back.
He was essentially, so he was a music producer and he made like elevator music. like in sold elevator music and stuff, right?
Oh, hot.
And so one of
corporate
the
corporate shit.
Yeah, yeah, one of the hip hop artists from Japan heard his shit and wanted to sample it, and he was like, okay, and they sampled it, made a song, and showed Nujabes, and he was like, well, this is really cool. Like, you know, I did a little bit of whatever on the side, and they worked together, and then he started merging his jazz that he makes for lounges and shit with hip hop, and that started in Japan, and then artists from America was like, well, what the fuck, dude? Like, this is so sick. And then everything from there just, he exploded in that scene. His trajectory was so fucking steep because no one had really, it was like Jay Dilla shit, but times.
I was about to ask, yeah.
Dude, they were homies and stuff, but dude, like.
Would you say like more along the lines of like Flying Lotus or?
No, not as.
Not as crazy.
Not as, sometimes his, you know, like he puts a lot of swing in his fucking cadence and shit, and it sounds really weird, but Flying Lotus to me, I love Flying Lotus, but there's a lot of his stuff that sounds too unorganized. I understand the intent, but for my ear, like it's not
easy listening.
Exactly.
You definitely have to like kind of sit down and focus on it.
Exactly. And Nujabes is just
smooth,
constantly impressive. And he works with artists almost all the time, like Urama Hiroto, who is a fucking saxophone player in Japan.
Oh yeah.
And then Haruka Nakamura, who is another like pianist and saxophone player. And they always do songs together. Best music ever, man. I wish, dude. Nujabes. That's the only celebrity I've ever cried about, dude.
Yeah.
As I don't believe in like letting myself getting that fucking sad over someone I've never met.
Yeah.
No matter how influential, because I've had so many.
Stanley.
Yeah. If for you as a Marvel fan, dude, of course, right?
You didn't feel anything when he passed?
No, or? Nothing. I'm not a fucking Marvel fanatic.
Okay, that's fair.
And I'm not trying to sound you know, stale or like, you know.
You're not like lifting your middle finger to the Stanley estate.
No way. But like, no. I've had so many people in my life die already. That's like people I don't know dying. I can't. Feel
like you don't have time for that shit. You have like
I don't want to give
in your life.
I don't want to say that. I don't have time for that shit. But I just I'm honest with myself and I don't feel anything.
Okay.
But when Nujabes died, I was like sad, so sad at the fact that, and this is selfish as fuck, dude.
You want
so,
more?
Yes. I was so sad that I'm not ever gonna hear a new Nujabes track. And I was like, everybody dies. I'm not sad about.
Yeah,
anyone like, dying, but like the fact that I don't get to experience.
He knew
this
what
person,
the deal was. Yeah,
everyone knows what the deal was, dude. We're all gonna die, but like the death portion of that isn't what makes me fucked up. It's just like wishing I could experience more of them.
Exactly.
Whether it's my friend, family, or someone I admire in Japan, that like their music carried me through some very influential times, and I still listen to his music, dude. I swear to God, I don't think there's a day that goes by I don't put on at least something that goes in a playlist.
Well, like the plus of like, you know, revisiting music and everything, and like other art mediums, is that you get more of out of it, or like you get different things out of it at different points in your life.
Yep.
When I was younger, my dad used to read me Calvin and Hobbes comics before I would go to bed. Second time bringing that up today.
Yep.
And
great, dude, fucking
Bill Watterson,
pioneers, bro.
Ugh. But yeah, like the way he described it to me as I got older was like, you know, he used to read them when he was younger, and then he got older and like got into high school and college, and you know, he reread them and get something new out of it. And then like now that he's reading it to me, he would like kind of realize like, oh shit, like that's really what this guy was getting after. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Very cool. Cause even like shows and movies you watch as an adult that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
You're like, holy fuck, I saw this when I was 11, dude. Like, I'm just fucking crying my eyes out.
So many kids' movies, like, have great fucking meanings.
Dude, there's so...
And messages.
I'll bring this up every time this even comes up, but, like, Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Dude, I have never learned more from a fucking show in my life than watching Adventure Time as a fully developed adult, or whatever the fuck you want to call me.
There's a lot going on in that show.
It's so deep and so intricate.
Shout
and chronological.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just the best show. I think, in my opinion, that's the best show ever to exist.
You get a little Jake-isms every once in a while?
Of course, dude.
Yeah.
And like, there's so many layers. Every fucking character has a backstory, a purpose, everything, and when they cross, it's not for no reason. Mm-hmm. Everything is meticulous in that. It's just so beautiful.
And
man,
above all else, like, it ended. It's over now, which is
beautiful.
No. They didn't like take up the body and like re-engineer it to be something else.
I know.
It has an ending, which, you know, I think that's the most important part of a story.
I cried, man, pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get through it? The last season?
Yep.
Yeah.
I have yet to do it. I'm still in like season three.
It's so...
Because there's so much other shit.
So... It was so sad, man, that, again, my favorite show of all time ever in the world is just like, I'll never see another episode, man.
There'll be spinoffs at some point, or you can go and like find the comics.
Right,
there's a shit ton of like comics, or
right. And the way that they ended it was nice, man. It was beautiful. Like it was just a fucking tear fest, dude. It was awesome. So shout out to Adventure Time. Fuck it,
Pendleton.
Ward.
Pendleton Ward. Yeah, and Rebecca Sugar and all the shit that you know they're doing.
Yep. And well, Rebecca Sugar was the music director, right?
But she
and so she created fairly, like, Steven Universe. Did you know that?
Oh, dude, I'm a bi dude in Arizona. Yeah, of course I know.
Okay.
Of course I know Steven Universe. Dude, that's our TV show.
Yeah, she's the creator of that show. Yeah. So that's why the fucking music in that bitch is so amazing.
I used
to
cover what is it? I could even learn how to love like you. That
hell
song.
Yeah, dude.
I see that on my like just regular piano gigs, and it would be a fucking blast.
That's another show. It's just so fucking great, and so like so many messages in that show that you can't absorb as a child. So the kids watching that show right now having fun watching it because it's aesthetically pleasing as fuck. It's just like
it gets dark. There's some like serious shit that pops up in there. There's a lot of like moments where you're like, oh, someone's actually dying.
Yep.
Or oh shit, like so they got betrayed, and they're actually like trying to figure out like how to grieve this person or like
so deep, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to new wave cartoons. Yeah. I mean, not all of them, of course, but
enough of them. There's a decent amount out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So guys, with no further ado. This is going to be so fucking tight, man. Cole Travis, a.k.a. Opus Loops, is going to be setting up right fucking now.
Hell yeah.
To give you guys a fresh rundown on what he's got going on.
Yeah.
We had one performance with May, episode, I think, 19, I believe. She had an acoustic guitar, brought it here, and you guys know she killed it. But right now, we got the fucking piano and the loop board. Set the fuck up, dude, and he's gonna get really cracking. I'm gonna give him as much time as he needs, however long you want to do this, dude. I'm a fan.
I tend to improv most of my shit. I have one song called Wholesome Memes I want to bust out in the very beginning, kind of fuck around with that, but then afterwards I don't know if you want to like throw in some freestyle or just kind of get in. You're more than welcome to jump in is what I'm trying to say. I love reaching out to the audience and like either getting like suggestions for songs. One of my favorite moments is I performed at the ASU North stage that they have at the MU, and I was just yelled out to the audience like, oh, what do you guys want to hear about? And somebody was like, circumcision. And I just made a song and started singing about like how making choices for children before they're old enough to make it for themselves. It's fun. You get
dude,
some
fuck yes.
fun shit out there.
I appreciate interactive, man. So who fucking knows? We'll see.
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, man.
Awesome.
So, go ahead and set
up
right here.
Just try not to, wreck your shit.
No, you're good. You're good. One more shout out. One more shout out to Kova Coffee. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the podcast. This performance is actually fueled by Kova Coffee.
It is.
And so if you guys want to know what's about to go down, you might want to get some fucking coffee in your life, dude, if you need it.
Would you like to improv a quick commercial for Kova right now?
Dude, I'm fucking down.
Would you want me to lay down something for you?
I'm very down.
For you
Do you need the microphone somewhere more convenient?
Let's see if there's a place. Cause
if you wanna,
I have my.
Oh, there. Okay. There
you
go.
I have my own, and like this might work as well.
Okay.
You hear me fairly well through this one.
Yeah. Keep going.
Do 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 do. Testing. Mic test.
Perfect. And I'll turn this one down.
All right.
So this one will turn down so there's no overlapping.
I'm going to go silent. And Bubba, if you want me, I'm just going to just lay down a beat for you.
Yes.
What are you feeling right now, Bubba?
Something really spiritual.
Spiritual?
Like
spiritual?
Something real nice. Like something very.
I gotcha. I can.
Melodic.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, cool. And here we go. This is Opus Loops. Listeners, this is your boy Peruge, Bubba McComb. Not a whole lot has changed, just having the most talented people in and out of the studio week after week, month after month, bringing you that hot fire. Speaking of hot, hot fire, this would never be possible without the help from our brothers and sisters, non-binaries, everything included over at Kova Coffee. Kova Coffee is undoubtedly and unarguably the best coffee that this world has ever fucking witnessed. This is not something that is up for debate. If you choose to argue with me, I will not accept your opinion, and I will very quickly remove you from my life. So guys, if you want to take advantage, $5 off your first order, go over to covacoffee.com, enter COVA5 for that $5 off your first order. You know what it is. Yeah, baby. Kova's gonna fucking love that shit.
I hope so. Yeah, that was good. That was smooth.
That was, you're talking about, that was smooth, man. I'm over here fucking, I was literally talking more just in awe.
Like mainly about the timbre of your voice and the pure professionalism that you're exuding.
You're
orally.
So fucking good. Guys, okay, so if you really still don't get what he's doing here, let me just try to, again, maybe paint the picture. So he is in a chair sitting like how any piano player would in front of his piano.
I'm literally taking a photo right now. I'm going to post it on to my Instagram and Facebook.
Please
do. So if y'all want to actually see what's going on in here,
yeah,
you can check that shit out on there.
Opus Loops. Make sure you fucking check it out, dude. He has his full keyboard set up here, right? The one he was describing just about, I don't know, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And right in front of the keyboard, he has got his loop station. So simultaneously as he's fucking jamming on the keyboard, what is it? Eight bars? Four bars?
Oh, it was like a little four bar.
Okay,
yeah,
so four bar
eight.
Loops. And he is simultaneously locking in the loop and continuing with different sounds, bass line. And this, everything you heard just now was made from scratch. Loops stacked on top of each other. Made by scratch. And that fucking blows my mind, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I got lucky enough to go to a high school that had like a basic music theory class. And that's what like really helped me like understand like, oh, this is how I can make my shitty music like flow together. This is how I can make sense of all these things.
This is so wonderful, man.
And like, this is just an extension of like, I mean, a keyboard itself is like such a chromatic instrument. Like once you know like what everything is, you know, like how to do chord progressions and like, you know, once you know how to like break the rules of chord progressions, I
sure,
say, in
sure.
like a way that makes sense, you you can just do whatever the fuck you want.
Fuck, man, and that like, was so cool.
It's so nice.
And so now you have a song that it's an original song,
this is
a composed one.
This
that
is
you,
an original. It's okay. Not entirely like solidified. There's
sure.
no like actual recordings of my music right now. I'm trying to get that in the works. But this is a song I've been fucking around with for a while. It's actually an old chord regression from my Slippy days that
cool.
I kind of fucked around with.
Cool.
And it's called Wholesome Memes. I hope y'all
Wholesome
enjoy.
Memes by Mr. Opus Loops, a.k.a. Young Cole Travis. That's such a famous name. Is that your real name?
Cole Travis, yeah.
Fuck, dude. I'm so jealous of that shit.
It's a fun one.
All right. Here we go.
Let's do this.
And a three, and a two, and a... Thank you. You are a sick, sick fuck with that thing, dude.
It's fun. It's a lot.
Dude, my fucking hands are sweating, dude. That was a fucking genuine experience, dude. Thank you so fucking much for that, man.
Let me play.
Dude, that was perfect. That was fucking so sick, man.
Yeah, it's I don't know what else to say other than it's a lot of fun, and I get to do this. This is great, man.
This is great, dude. I'm going to have to for sure come out and bring a fucking flock of people to your next show, dude.
Odd that you should say that. Mm-hmm. Actually, my next show is June 6th.
Ooh.
I'm performing at Jobot Coffee and Bar.
I'm fucking there, dude. Yeah. I walk there to get coffee all the time.
It's such a good fucking place.
Perfect.
But yeah, they're letting me go from, I believe, 7 to 8 o'clock.
Fuck yeah, man.
And after that, I'm going to be essentially a human iPod. I'm going to be providing interstitial music for all of the open micers that are coming up and down.
Open micer?
Open micers, yeah.
Okay.
So, Baba, if you want to come through and do a hot set.
Do a hot fire. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up on your ass.
Sling that goss on stage.
Yeah, and, sling that young fucking word. Yeah, dude, well, I'll be there fucking checking you out no matter what. I'm not doing anything. I know I'm not doing anything June 6th.
Awesome.
There's nothing that I can even think of.
And if you out there are also not doing anything, please be sure to come out and see me do some fun stuff. I'll be there. You might be there. Bubba?
Yeah. We'll I'll
maybe be there. And like, we can just really have a good time getting to know each other. You know what I mean?
Holy fuck. How did you even do that shit?
Holy fuck.
It's some of the effects on here.
Holy fucking shit!
Yeah, just kind of a nice little sample of effects that you may see at my show on June 6th over at Jobot.
Baby, 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 baby.
It's entirely free, so come through, get your caffeine and or alcohol fixed. I'm not here to judge.
Or food. Dude, they have great food there, man. It's so, dude, no one talks about the Jobot food. I had chilaquiles there.
Yeah.
Fire, dude.
Hell yeah.
It was so good.
I mainly go there for drinks and same. Coffee when I'm down there, but I'll be sure
same,
to get
but
some like food.
Last time I was treating a hangover, dude, and I was like one of the first hangovers I've had in such a long time, and it's always Mexican. I always need Mexican food, man.
You need the,
if I'm feeling bad.
Lipids and all those fats, right?
Yep.
It's like you got to get back in your body.
My stomach was fine, but my head was fucked. My body ached. I was like,
disassociated.
I just
that's
need.
The kind of hangover I get, unfortunately.
Yeah, I need it, dude. I need it bad. So yeah, I went there and took a chance on the chilaquiles, man, and that shit was fucking, oh, it was so good, dude. So Jobot, June 6th, yeah. 100% that's happening. Do you want a few minutes to just fucking jam, dude?
Yeah, I can go.
Okay, let's do it.
I can definitely kind of
let's get another fucking improv jam session.
Awesome. This
or not, not another, but
this
an,
one is
an improv jam session.
Yeah, we're going to just kind of roll with it. No names, no nothing.
End of three. Just kidding. It's fucking stupid. I'm so stupid. I hate myself. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Hey. Thank you. Nasty.
Perfect.
You don't have a kingdom. You've got to get some kingdom. What are you doing with Captain Kingdom? You've got to get some kingdom. What are you doing with Captain Kingdom? You've got to get some kingdom. Oh, shit. Yes, yes. Dude, that was so fucking fun, man.
That was incredible. Oh, that's still on.
Hey.
That was incredible. That was a lot of fun. Oh, my God.
That was so sick, dude.
That was. Thank you for letting me jam on the Kendama theme.
I'm so thoroughly impressed, man. And I know the listeners, that's a fucking solid treat for them right there.
Yeah, I hope you all enjoy it. If you do, check out my stuff on Instagram and Facebook. You can find me at Opus Loops, all one word. OPUSLOOPS.
Yes.
And if you didn't like it, then you can still follow me and just send me hate DMs. I'm totally down with that.
Feedback.
Constructive criticism.
But don't, you know?
I mean, like, do? Maybe?
We don't care about your opinions unless you like it, you know? Unless you have high fives,
I'm
dude.
I'm just starting off. I could use all the opinions I could possibly get.
No.
Apparently not. Fuck it. We're not taking any of your opinions.
No. Good opinions. Only.
We're taking maybe half of your opinions.
Look, if you have something to say other than that was fun to listen to and I wish that I had a skill like that, then shut the fuck up. Because you know who always talks shit? It's the people who aren't that good or can't do it or like...
But even if that is the case, right? Then like, right, that's still a great opportunity for you to like talk to them and help them figure out like what the fuck right. they're doing.
Truth. Fine. Whatever your feelings...
You're talking to a comm major that specializes in conflict like mediation, my friend.
Fine. All right. Listen. DM him no matter what the fuck what, dude. Tell him exactly how you feel about what just happened no matter what. But just be nice, okay?
I do have feelings.
So Opus Loops on, just search it.
Yeah.
Pretty much anywhere you'll find it.
Well, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, but if you search it in Google, it'll probably come up, right?
I would just Facebook and Instagram. No,
we're figuring it out right now. Yeah, of course. Facebook and Instagram is the fucking, the default for most people, but I'm going to go ahead and just search Opus. Ooh, I'm going to search Opus Loops right now.
Want me to lay down some Google music?
Let's do it, dude. Ooh, right here. SlideShare. Okay, don't Google it. Just search them on Instagram and Facebook. Check. Yeah. All right, everybody. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the support you've shown so far. And no words can convey exactly how I feel about you motherfuckers, man. I could write a poem. I could write a song. It just wouldn't stick the way that I needed to for you to understand. Anyone that's helped me along the way, whether it's a conversation, a shared link, a fucking whatever, dude. I don't care. Even if you talk shit about me, thank you for having my name in your mouth. You can put something else in there if you wanted to. Just let me know. Probably for a reasonable price. What I'm saying is, if you pay me enough, I'll put my dick in your mouth and, it's not prostitution because I'm doing it and I can't even call the cops, I don't think. So, anyways, what I'm trying to say is thank you. Baby, I've been feeling this way for a long, long, long time. And I just gotta say something to you. Episode.